Everyone, and welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Clara Merrill, and today we're going to be talking about a particularly intricate and technical term in the sphere of neurobiology and sex. Post-nut clarity. No, not post-nasal drip, folks. Post-nut clarity. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you and your partner, you finish up, and the dust settles, and wham! You're immediately transported out of the warm and fuzzy realm of all those lovey-dovey feelings and back to, well, oftentimes the less romantic, more real-life realm, should we say? You look over at your partner. Are they thinking of someone else? I mean, I hope not. I don't know about you, but personally, I'm probably thinking about late night Wawa runs and the vacuum cleaner bags I still haven't changed in my vacuum. Is this adulting? And why those Sunday night blues are just so damn depressing. Now, since this is a science podcast and I do have a reputation to keep up, let me get a little bit more precise for you. While post-nut clarity is clearly the superior layman's term, the real and researchable phenomenon is a little bit more specific. It's called postcoital dysphoria. Postcoital dysphoria, sometimes called postcoital tristesse or the post-sex blues, refers to those feelings of sadness or agitation you can sometimes involuntarily get after sexual intercourse. And let me be clear, this is a perfectly normal and accounted for phenomenon, even if that intercourse, that incident, was completely consensual and satisfying and enjoyable. So, what are the neurochemical backings of this fall from grace? To elucidate the neurobiology behind this phenomenon, we should start with a condensed overview of what your brain is undergoing while you're, you know, doing the no-pants dance. Let me also clarify, postcoital dysphoria can occur in individuals of all gender and sexual orientations in the context of partner engagement or solo experiences, though in this review, I'm speaking about partner engagement. Alright, so with that cleared up, let's talk about sex in the brain. While you're mid-doing the do, you're probably not thinking about chemicals in your brain, but believe it or not, they're a lot more intimately involved with sexual engagement than you might think. In the arc from arousal to orgasm to this postcoital period, your brain and your body are experiencing massive waves and fluctuations of hormones and processing overflows and system overloads, for lack of a better word. Hopefully the good kind. In the pre-sex activation period, this is where you start to get aroused, your limbic system warms up and kicks into gear. On the flip side, other parts of your cerebral cortex, some of which govern more complex patterns of higher level reasoning, will shut off. So maybe there's some truth to that old saying, love is blind and your hookup choices may be questionable, but no judgment here. So anyway, sexual engagement releases a cocktail of neurochemicals. There's a reason why sex feels so intimately, no pun intended, good. Dopamine lights up our brain's reward pathway, norepinephrine encourages that giddy, on-top-of-the-world sensation, and oxytocin heightens arousal and brings up those fuzzy, cuddly vibes. So there's an arc to building up that orgasm. But of course, what goes up must come down. There's so many puns. I apologize. And now, we're back to postcoital dysphoria. After your brain's been pummeled with all these feel-good chemicals, the float back down to Earth can feel rather disillusioning, and understandably so. A German philosopher from the 18th century, Arthur Schopenhauer, once wrote, "Directly after copulation, the devil's laughter is heard." Now, the research on PCD is fairly limited thus far, but researchers' essential understanding of this phenomenon is, like I said before, when those hormones are built and built during sex and orgasm, after that sexual upkeep and engagement has concluded, that high essentially dissolves. It's a literal draining away of the massive brain stimulation, not so dissimilar from an addict coming down from a substance-initiated high. Generally speaking, studies examining the mechanics and statistics of sexual dysfunctions estimate that their overall prevalence may sit around 14 to 34% in men and 33 to 43% in women. And obviously, these numbers are heavily limited by a very exclusionary gender binary, and I apologize, the data here is pretty hard to track on a wide scale. However, PCD is not currently identified as a sexual difficulty, though, of course, it can be a real dreaded experience for those who suffer from it. A review by Sadek and Sadek from 2008 nonetheless made a claim to denote PCD as a sexual dysfunction eligible for inclusion in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Disorders, DSM, as, quote, a sexual disorder not otherwise specified. So their backing here is that though some mild sadness after sexual intercourse might not necessarily qualify as a dysfunction, some existing baseline research has demonstrated that those who undergo chronic symptoms of PCT are experiencing a level of dysphoria that's too enduring and too deep-seated neurochemically to be dismissed as just superficial discontent. Some sufferers have reported these sensations as hollow feelings, something akin to homesickness, or a yearning for something missing or unachievable. Clinical experience data has confirmed that PCD-specific sensations always occur after sexual engagement, not before, not during, and very often in a stable and otherwise fulfilling relationship. The dysphoria can last for over an hour, and even with partners' efforts for comfort and consolation. So again, PCD in this context, it's not due to any tangible fault in the engagement or the experience. It's quite deeply rooted in the neurochemical resolution of your brain lighting up like a Christmas tree. We know healthy sex is good for us. It promotes self and partner-based intimacy, it encourages literal self-care, it deepens our capabilities for relationships, and just generally, it feels pretty nice. Those hormones are meant to be pleasurable. But a 2016 study by Coventry and Oxford universities, for example, found that older adults who had sex weekly performed better on cognitive tests on memory, attention, word recall, and visual and verbal recognition. McGill University in Canada also ran a 2016 study that found that sex encourages nervous tissue growth in the hippocampus, a region of the brain that governs emotions, memory, and the nervous system. So, the next time you find yourself a little sweaty, maybe a little disillusioned, don't despair. You may have temporarily fried your reward pathway and stunned your faithful efferent neurons, but that post-nut clarity, that post-coital dysphoria that's dropped you unceremoniously back in the world of mere measly mortals, well, that's just your brain automating a necessary reboot. Give yourself a pat on the back for a job well done, thank your reward pathways for playing, and remember, kids, safe sex is the best sex. So go out there and make good choices.